Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're continuing our look at an article titled, The Gaslighting Within Mormonism Must Stop. It's the online edition that was found on the opinion page in the Salt Lake Tribune. It was written by Ryan McKnight and Ethan Dodge. These two men are the co-founders of the Truth and Transparency Foundation, which operates MormonLeaks.io and FaithLeaks.org. And basically what they're saying is that the church needs to change the way it handles the information about Mormonism's past. They begin the piece by talking about a meeting. It was called a face-to-face event with a group of single adults with Dallin Oaks, a Mormon apostle, and M. Russell Ballard, members of the church's Quorum of the 12 Apostles. A question that was asked of these two leaders was, how do you talk to friends who are struggling with their faith due to doubt and questions of church history? And the two authors cited Ballard's response, and in this response, they cited the part where he talks about some are saying that the church has been hiding the fact that there's more than one version of the first vision, which is just not true. The facts are we don't study, we don't go back and search what has been said on the subject. But then he gives the example. He says, Dr. James B. Allen of Brigham Young University in 1970 produced an article for the church magazines explaining all about the different versions of the first vision. Now, it's interesting. I could take it the wrong way, Eric, but when it says the facts are we don't study, is he referring to leaders in the church, such as himself, or is he talking about members who just don't study and don't go back and search what has been said on the subject? Sometimes I have to think it's the leaders who don't study, because some of these things that the leaders have said over the years, it wouldn't be that difficult to show them from their own sources where they're getting it wrong, but that's a whole nother show. They went on in their piece to cite the fact that the leadership expects the membership to just trust them. In fact, they cited Ballard as saying, just trust us wherever you are in the world and you share this message with anyone else that raises the question about the church not being transparent. And the fact is even though the Mormon Church has come out with these gospel topics essays since 2013, we have found in our study that even there, they're not totally transparent, that there is a lot of information that is left out that would help you better understand what is going on had it been a part of the essay, but it wasn't in it. And so the church is not being as transparent as they could be. In discussing this idea of withholding information or not emphasizing certain information to the membership, they cite Stephen Snow. What do they say about that?
Even former member of the First Quorum of the 70 and current executive director of the Church History Department, Stephen Snow, knows this. In a 2013 interview published in Religious Educator, an official LDS publication, Snow said the following, quote, "My view is that being open about our history solves a whole lot more problems than it creates. We might not have all the answers, but if we are open, and we now have pretty remarkable transparency, then I think in the long run, that will serve us well. I think in the past, there was a tendency to keep a lot of the records closed or at least not give access to information. But the world has changed in the last generation. With the access to information on the internet, we can't continue that pattern. I think we need to continue to be more open."
Now let's compare with what historian Stephen Snow says in that paragraph with what Ballard said in the other paragraph earlier on in this article. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like a contradiction, because Dallin Oaks and Russell Ballard are making it sound like we don't hide anything. But yet here's Stephen Snow saying, well, we did have a tendency to keep a lot of the records closed or at least not give access to information. Does that not sound like they're hiding information? Mm. Of course it does. But there's something else that Stephen Snow says here that I think is worthy of note. When he says, we might not have all the answers, but if we are open and we now have pretty remarkable transparency, then I think in the long run, that will serve us well. It was that phrase, in the long run, that caught my attention. Because we are noticing, in the short run, it's not serving the Mormon Church well.
No.
No, not at all. How many times are we hearing testimonies of people leaving the Mormon Church because they find out that the history that they learned by the missionaries and the history that they listened to in General Conference is not really the history that has been produced in the Gospel Topics essays that are supposed to be more and more transparent. So in the short run, this is not helping the Mormon Church. There are a lot of people who have been led to believe a certain aspect about their faith that they've come to learn is not true. And because they feel like they were deceived, they are leaving the church. And unfortunately, in many cases, they are leaving all religious faith, any and all religious faith. They want nothing to do with it whatsoever. And it starts their journey off into agnosticism or even atheism. Now, the Mormons might say, well, see, that's your fault, Bill. That's your fault, Eric. If you hadn't brought a lot of this information out, you wouldn't have caused such a confusion for these poor people, and they could have just lived happily in the Mormon Church for the rest of their lives. Is that really our fault, just because we're trying to press things that are supposed to be true?
And that's the point. I mean, what we try to do is lay out what the leaders have said, what has been taught on the First Vision and the other controversial issues in the church. And the leaders seem to want to make good people better, but they're not wanting them to know everything. Well, if they're going to make these people better, they should be able to have access to all the facts and let the truth land where it will. If Mormonism is true, then we all ought to join. And if it's not true, it ought to be avoided at all costs. But the Mormon leaders don't see it that way. They have this empire with power and money, and there's a lot of things involved here that they're trying to protect. And they don't want people to be able to know this because they know they don't want to be boondoggled. And that's what's happened here.
What you have just described, Eric, sounds to me a lot like the scenario we read in the New Testament with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had the religious power, and they saw Jesus as a threat. Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. They saw his truth being a threat to their position, prestige, and power. I see a lot of similarities with what's going on with the Mormon leadership. They definitely do have a lot of things to protect here. And to have that all unravel because of truth is really a threat to them. So I can understand where they are coming from. But at the same time, as Christians, and even if you're a Latter-day Saint, if you claim to be a Christian, truth should matter to you.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't matter to you, I would seriously question your claim to Christianity, just in that area, much less a whole lot of other areas.
The authors go on and write, when a member is taught from childhood that Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon from plates behind a curtain, the sense of betrayal should not be surprising upon discovering the true source of the book is a faintly glowing rock. It is manipulative to suggest that the member should have studied church history more thoroughly when the leadership incessantly obfuscates the source materials. That's not how honesty and transparency work in the real world.
Now, of course, when they mention this faintly glowing rock, they're talking about the seer stone. Now, a Mormon could argue, and perhaps a Mormon historian might argue, well, wait a minute, Russell M. Nelson, back in, I think it was the 1990s, did an article where he does mention the seer stone. But again, look how far back you have to go to find an article written by a general authority discussing an issue that is certainly controversial in today's culture of Mormonism. You have to go back quite a few years. And you and I have both experienced talking with Mormons when we had mentioned the seer stone. Most Mormons were not even aware of it. I remember when Daniel Peterson mentioned the seer stone in that series that PBS put out several years ago called The Mormons. And I know of at least one case where a Mormon thought that Daniel Peterson was an anti-Mormon for mentioning such a lie. But no, Peterson was informed. He knew that was a part of Mormon history.
Bill, do you remember the Ensign magazine article from the turn of the century where Joseph Smith was with the gold plates, and he has his finger going across the gold plates as if he were to read them. So that was the image that the Latter-day Saint Church seemed to want to give, that Joseph Smith actually used the plates. But in recent years, now they admit that a seer stone has been used. And in the December 2017 edition of Ensign Magazine, on pages 58 and 59, there is a painting of Joseph Smith, and he is translating. It looks like it's possibly Oliver Cowdery sitting across from him at the table, and he's writing down what Joseph Smith is telling him, according to what this painting implies. And then he has the gold plates, and it looks like they're covered in a sack, and just barely you can see a hat. Now, he's not looking into the hat, but Bill, this is the first time I have ever seen a hat used in a picture or a portrayal of Joseph Smith translating the plates.
Okay, so what is the church supposed to do about it? These two authors give some suggestions, and they admit that it is unrealistic to expect Mormon missionaries to air all the dirty laundry to investigators, or for the men who speak for Jesus to address these issues in general conference every 6 months. And they admit, perhaps that's true. The ditch has been dug so deep, they say, there is no way to simply jump out of it, but the church can climb its way out.
It starts with admitting mistakes were made. Not Stephen Snow admitting it. Dallin Oaks needs to admit it. Russell Ballard needs to admit it. Every single man who wants the world to believe that they speak for God needs to look their followers in the eye and say that mistakes were made. This removes the ability for members of the church to dismiss the issue and claim that those who doubt have no valid reason to do so.
Let me go a step further, Eric, because they use the word mistake. Mistakes were made. I'm sorry, I would have to go further than that and say it's not a mistake when you lie.
Yeah.
A sin was perpetrated.
Yeah.
These leaders have sinned willfully to give their membership an idea of their history that does not comport to reality. So it's not just a mistake. A mistake can be understood as something that you didn't mean to do it. Okay, it was stupid, but it was a mistake nonetheless. I should have gone in a different direction. But this is much more serious than I think a simple mistake would be. They have sinned. They have sinned willfully. They have lied to the membership, and they need to do what they expect the membership to do when they sin, and that is they need to repent. And because the sin was made public, they need to repent publicly. A simple admitting, oh, we made a mistake, like Uchtdorf did several years ago. Remember, Dieter F. Uchtdorf talked about leaders have made mistakes. He didn't mention who the leaders were. They were probably local leaders for all we know. We don't even know what mistakes he was talking about. This is much more serious than a mere mistake. They need to repent of the willful lies they have told their membership. Then you let the chips fall where they may. But as Stephen Snow, in the long run, he thinks that this is going to be better to be open. But as we can see, in the short run, there have been many negative consequences.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.